as much as any other threat, recognizing and avoiding scams has become a necessary skill for today's retirees to develop. Join us as we explore crucial steps you can take to safeguard your financial well-being against the growing tide of scams and identity theft. Learn from real-life stories and gain practical advice to keep your finances secure in this digital era, all from the perspective of a seasoned financial professional.
A successful retirement plan begins with assembling the right set of tools. Finding the proper ones for the job will allow you to drill down on your goals and nail down your future. Scott Searles, certified wealth strategist and owner of Skybox Financial Group, constructs retirement plans for clients every day and will share that knowledge and insight with you. It's time to open the retirement toolbox and get to work.
Another episode of the Retirement Toolbox is off to the races. Walter Storholt here with Scott Searles, financial advisor, president of Skybox Financial Group, with more than 20 years of experience in the planning world. And you can find out more information about Scott online at skyboxfinancialgroup.com. Scott, we're talking about scams and fraud and all those kinds of things on today's show. So this will be great to dive into. I think very good advice for folks to kind of just learn about what's out there, first of all, and then we can get into how to avoid it and be aware and that kind of thing. But have you ever fallen victim to a scam or fraud of some sort like this before in your life? Not necessarily even financial, but anything else in your life?
Yeah, you know what? I have had issues with some of those phishing emails.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of lesson learned, and from our company, I mean, that's something we take very seriously, and we have got training on this type of stuff, but you got to be very careful.
What you're going to notice in today's episode is that people have gotten a lot more sophisticated at these scams. It's not, the deposed son of the Nigerian prince trying to get some gold from you or something
still
like that.
Still get those, though.
Still get those. Yeah. But they've definitely gotten a little bit better. I helped my grandparents avoid getting taken a couple of years back. And boy, it almost got me. Everything looked legit. And then I noticed just one little thing felt off. And then we looked a little bit closer. And I was like, huh, look at this. If I wasn't reading this carefully, I would have totally fallen for it. But there was something a little bit weird in the grammar. And I was like, that strikes me as odd. And then when we looked a little closer, I was like, also, look at how the font of the email changes a little bit here. This is weird. And it just, it led us down the road. But if I was just scanning emails, going through, I'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll do that, blah, blah. And it was related to a real-life thing they had going on. So it was just really kind of scary.
Yeah, you have to investigate even the simplest of things sometimes.
All right, well, let's dive in here. So introduce why this is such an important for retirees and pre-retirees. Is there, data? Are there stats? I mean, what are we talking about when we say, oh, yeah, scams and fraud, it's a big issue for today's retiree? What's really at stake here?
Yeah, you know what? There it's always in the news. There was just a recent news story that came up. A 77-year-old widow had lost her life savings. It was like $660,000.
Jeez, the whole thing.
Yeah, a tech support scam where the fraudsters were posing as bank officials, and they convinced her to wire money into cryptocurrency to protect it from theft. And that's just one example, because Americans over age 60 in 2022 lost $3.1 billion to cyber fraud.
Hard to wrap your brain around a number like that. I mean, it's a big problem. It's a big issue. It's a lot of money. And for somebody we're not just talking about somebody losing $10,000 here. I mean, that's life savings out the window that's getting bilked out of people.
And there's this guy on YouTube that I can't remember his name, but he's like a good guy hacker, and he like poses as seniors, and he will have these scamming farms from India will contact him, but he's a hacker too, so he ends up taking over the scammers' computers and stealing money from them and sending it back to people and informing authorities. So I mean, this is a huge big deal.
Yeah, that is really big. And I think you mentioned like the phishing emails, and we both mm-hmm. mentioned like the sophistication's getting bigger. I feel like the scams are coming from all angles these days as well. It's not just in your email. It's from a lot of different places.
Yeah, I mean, the phishing, that was kind of like the main one. But now, you know, they move into that vishing, which is like phone calls that, you know, try to get personal information from you, even recording your voice, which we'll talk about, and smishing, which are text messages that you get, that you click on a link and, you know, all of a sudden you're sucked into something.
Yeah, I think that's that's scary. I've gotten those texts. I didn't know it was called mm-hmm. smishing until we did some research for this presentation and this podcast today. But
yeah,
phishing, vishing, and smishing are the three big terms there. But yeah, you're getting hit by phone, text, and email, and we're not even really even getting into like maybe an ad you click on and some other angles
right.
too. So you're just kind of under constant bombardment, and you kind of covered this already, Scott. But we're looking at all sorts of things, from losing your life savings, or even if it's tens of thousands of dollars, that can be life-changing. We're also opening ourselves up to identity theft and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, credit getting damaged, and not to mention, too, just the emotional stress to the people. I had a client contact me last year, and she fell victim to an Amazon scam. And then afterwards, she's like, I should have known better. That didn't make sense. And you know, they got something saying, you know, I think it was like email or text saying that they needed to contact Amazon because somebody got in her account and ordered stuff, and she did that, and she got sucked in.
Man, that's terrible. Well, let's talk about specific examples. I think one of the best ways to combat this is just with awareness of the different types of scams that are out there. We mentioned that they can come from email, phone, or text, but what are some specific ones that you've heard about that have really caught your eye or have heard are kind of the most dangerous, or ones that people may actually encounter sometime in the future?
Yeah, it was on the news not too long ago about these government imposter scams. And basically what they do is they will contact you, usually by phone, maybe email, text, saying they're the IRS or the Social Security or Medicare. And the whole idea is saying that you owe them money and you have to pay them right away, or they're going to come arrest you or take your house, or you're going to lose your benefits, all sorts of different things. But obviously, it's just a bunch of bull. And they'll want you to send them cash, you know, through gift cards, go to the store, buy gift cards, you know, cryptocurrency or wiring money. You know, the one thing with this, remember, is that none of those organizations will contact you any other way except through mail. Believe me, I've gotten letters from the IRS. So, you know, they send letters. They don't call you. They're not texting you. The IRS is not going to send you a text. Okay? So the only, you know, any of those types of things that you hear, you know, those things are going to be coming through the mail, and you definitely never want to share any personal information.
Yeah, try to avoid that. The personal information sharing is big. You really shouldn't be exposed to that much in any of these kinds of situations. That should trigger alarm bells, at least. I think about my generation, Scott, we don't know much about like the sweepstakes. I remember a little bit of Publishers Clearing House and that being mm-hmm. a thing growing up. But that's ingrained deeply into the minds of retirees. They grew up with that, and that's an easy one for them to fall victim to.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember this was probably, I think it was last year, I had a guy call me up here in the office. He was a potential client of our firm. I can't remember where he'd gotten our name from. Maybe he was on our mailing list, email, or whatever. But he called up and he said, hey, I want to set up an appointment to get together with you because I inheriting some money. He said that he also won the Facebook lottery. There's a lottery on Facebook. And I don't know exactly what the Facebook lottery is.
Yeah, but hadn't heard of that one.
But he ended up having to send them money so that they could get stuff set up. And I'm like, you know what, buddy? This just does not sound legit. I would pause, slow down. You know, we talked a little bit. I tried to help him. And, you know, we kind of ended it with, well, you know, and he was pretty convinced that he was winning this money. He really wasn't listening much to me. And I said, well, you know, call me back when you get the check, you know, because, you know, we all knew it wasn't going to happen. But all of these scams, the way they get money out of you is they want you to send, you know, a couple thousand dollars for a processing fee or pay taxes on this lottery winning. You have to pay it up front and then we're going to send you the money. Again, it's a big red flag if, you know, they're asking for gift cards or asking you to wire money or any of those things, because that's all untraceable stuff. You know, you send a gift card to somebody, you know, they have no idea who you sent the gift card to. So you have to be very careful with anything that asks you for money up front to process or to pay taxes or whatever.
I think about this one a lot, Scott. This one's kind of scary and even a little bit harder to put guards in place. You know, we did a previous episode just a couple weeks ago about technology. And one thing we didn't even really explore, just because it's so rapidly changing, is AI and that sort of thing, and what you can do with AI. But now there's a scam going around. I believe they're calling it the grandparent scam, where someone will call and pretend to be a grandson or granddaughter in trouble. And they are able to actually clone voices. So, like, you and I doing this podcast puts us at risk, because right. someone could take just a couple of seconds of us talking and probably clone something relatively close to our voice and the cadence of how we talk, and then they yep. can put it into a computer system and have us say anything that we want to.
Right.
We've all heard of the deep fakes and things like that. And so then they could call our grandparents and say, oh, hey, it's Walter. I'm in jail. I need bail money. Something happened. I can't make rent. Can you send $500? And the grandparents are, of course, they're in shock. They want to help. They want to, you know, come to the rescue and be a resource. And that's how they're getting money out of people. So I don't even know how you safeguard that. I guess have some sort of secret phrase. Hey, if I ever call for money, make sure I say, you know, the flowers are blue and the roses are yellow or something. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's actually a good idea. You know, the phone call things, we all get tons of spam calls and solicitation calls on our phones anymore. And problem is, you don't know. So I don't answer my cell phone. I figure if it's somebody, you know, if I don't know who it is, I just let it go to voicemail. And they can leave me a message, I'll call them back. But, you know, if you answer that phone, and it's something as simple as when a senior would answer the phone and they say, you know, can you hear me? Can you hear me? And you reply, yes. They just recorded your voice saying yes.
Oh, yeah.
And then they can use that in different places or different things and then build dialogue off of that. So you have to be very careful. Like I said, I never answer my cell phone. I let somebody, you know, simply leave a message and then I can call them back. I mean, in 2001, people over 60 were taken for about $280 million from these phone scams.
Wow. And now the scams as a total up over $3 billion, like you said, just back in 2022. I remember what the secret phrase should be, by the way. I just watched Ocean's 11 the other day. It was on TV. Geez. Do you remember when, or I guess it was Ocean's 12. It's the second one. When they're in hiding, and then Terry Benedict, the hotel owner, he's now hunting them down and finding them. And Julia Roberts sees him, and she's talking to Danny Ocean on the phone, and she just goes immediately into code. And there's water in the basement, and the pilot light is out. And he's like, hang up, and then he's on the run. So
there you go. You found
that
it.
Is your code phrase. Yeah.
Water yes. In the basement, yes. You have to let your grandparents know.
I know. Got to have that communication. Well, let's talk about solutions. There's lots of other scams, too. We won't cover them all here on the show, but there's a couple to be aware of. Mm-hmm. What are some ways we can recognize scams? You've hit a few. But there's got to be a decent list here of little tidbits we could at least latch on to.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the big things is if the offer's too good to be true, right? Like, I just won the $1 million Facebook lottery by, you know, doing whatever. I mean, I think that's always one thing. And when you get emails or you get attachments to different things, even in our office, we've got firewalls, we've got antivirus, we've got anti-malware, we've got all sorts of systems to protect everything here in our office. But still, some of those scammy emails go through. So you have to, number one, look at where it was sent from. A lot of the times it'll say, you know, it was sent, it'll be like a Home Depot, you know, click here because your order can't be delivered or something. And you
I get a lot of those from FedEx. They try to be FedEx.
Yeah. So you have to look where it come from. It could come from, you know, Josie at, you know, AWOL, you know, planning or whatever. And you're like, wait, why is that coming from? And then read it carefully. And most importantly, don't click on that link. Don't click on the link. Go to Google, go directly to the Home Depot website, or go directly to it. Like another one is the banks, right? You get something saying, oh, validate, click here to validate this purchase. You know, did you buy something in the last 3 days? We need you to validate the purchase. Click here. Don't click here. Go directly to that bank website or call your bank. Don't click on links that look weird or suspicious. That's a biggie.
Yeah.
I mean, they can put some of that malware on your computer and lock it up, and then you got to call this number and, you know, and all sorts. That happened to my father-in-law. His computer was locked up, some FBI warning thing or something, and he knew it was a scam, but you know what he did? He just threw the computer out and bought a new one.
Yeah, I mean, it's, depending on how much money they're trying to bilk from you, that just becomes the cheapest way to go, probably.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got to go to the Geek Squad and, you know, all sorts of stuff.
Or pay the ransom, right? Ransomware, right. I think, is that what they call it?
Yep, that's the ransomware deal. So
also, look at the names of people who email you. One thing I've noticed over the years, Scott, is they'll use someone's name, and I don't know, you know, who knows how they're actually able to get this information to be able to spoof it, but you know, like my wife's name is Connie, so I'll get stuff all the time from somebody who's Connie, or might have the first and last name of two different people that I've emailed back and forth with recently, but a different first and last name, so like combining two people into one person. Or it might just be misspelled ever so slightly, or might have the first name right but not the last name. So however they're able to guess or get that kind of information through your email system, they're now able to make it look like it's from somebody you know, and that just kind of immediately lowers your guard.
Absolutely. We get not only phone calls, but emails from Skybox Financial Group.
What?
Yeah. We got a phone call the other day that said Skybox Financial on the caller ID. We're like, really?
And you're like, what?
Really? Or we'll get an email from Skybox Payroll, you know, services, oh, and there was a problem with your check, click here. I'm like, really? Come on.
That's terrible. Yeah.
But if it was a big company and they did that to, you know, Apple or Google, you know, payroll department, somebody may fall for that, right? I mean, we're smaller. I know the payroll department because he's sitting right here. I knew that was wrong, but it would be easy for people to fall into that. The other thing, too, is remember, no legitimate company is ever going to ask you to pay for anything with a gift card. No one's asking you to run up to Sheetz, run up to the gas station, buy $500 worth of gift cards, and read them the numbers off the back.
Yeah.
Just no one. You're not going to pay for anything.
Just not a legitimate route.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
And no one is going to require you to wire money to them either.
Yeah. Checks, if it involves check writing to some person to help get you out of these situations, or a cashier's check or anything like that, again, alarm bells should start going off for sure. And I guess last piece of advice too, just keep the emotions in check. These people are going to try to spark you into some action, whether it be by somebody being in trouble or know your computer's locked out or someone's going to steal all your money. They're going to ramp up the drama to get you to make a quick emotional decision. So extortion or something that feels like blackmail, all of those are going to be techniques to kind of pick you apart a little bit and force you into these unnecessary actions. So sometimes the best thing to do is you just, you know what, call me back in 20 minutes and I'll, you know, and just give yourself a few minutes to breathe and then maybe check with a different loved one to say, what do you think about this?
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. And, you know, there's other things you can do to protect yourself beyond what we're talking about. And I think one of the big things, Walter, is passwords. a lot of people have a tendency to use the same password over and over on the same places, right?
Because
it's easy to remember, right? What I would encourage everybody to do is get a password manager. I think there's one built in the iPhone and different things. So you can create different passwords at different places and have them stored in one central location. You make a big monster password to get into that. And I know here in our office, every one of our passwords are 14 to 20 random generated characters. And then we have a policy where we have to change those every 90 days. So, you know, that's something, a lot of those password saving programs, you can press a button and it'll generate the password for you and then save it. Because obviously you're not going to remember 14 to 20 random characters for 15 different websites you go into. But if you have that manager to store them, and then use that two-factor authentication whenever it's often. That's that thing where they send you the text message, you got to enter the code. Again, another way just to protect yourself.
Yeah. I love that for when it's personal use. I hate it for when you're sharing logins with other people, though. It makes it so complicated, but
that's
kind of the point of it. So that's good. I think in terms of regularly changing things, I would say also just monitor, right? Regular monitoring of check your bank statements, your credit card transactions. Mm-hmm. I put in a thing in place where anytime there's a credit card charge over a dollar, I get an email. So it's immediate. So I always know if everything that's hitting the credit card, I'm getting a quick email showing what the charge was. And it's a great way to just kind of keep track. And if something ever weird pops up, I'm able to spot it immediately and go take action.
Boy, that would generate way too many emails in my house.
It is a decent amount. Yeah, that's true.
You know, and you don't necessarily need to go this far. You know, but another thing to think about too is we use, not only for work, but me personally, I use a VPN, and that's basically a private network. And it's just an app you can get on your phone or software you can install on your computer. And what it does is it hides where you're at, number one. So you could be, you know, an example is I was in the airport the other day. I wanted to go and do some work. I made sure my VPN was on because that's an unsecure network. So everything was encrypted on there so that nobody could read what my data traffic was when I was in the airport, as well as it also made it look like I was in Chicago or something. Again, just another layer of protection to protect you from, you know, people stealing your data when you're in a public place or even in your own house.
Yeah, I think it's a really good idea. That might be more advanced than some people are willing to deal with and work with. But for those who are willing to, you know, tackle that extra layer of security, it definitely helps. And basic antivirus software is good. And I make sure not to log into like bank accounts and things like that if I'm at the airport using public Wi-Fi. I think that's a pretty good advice that people should follow.
Yep.
Try to avoid those kinds of things. I always will switch over to my phone internet if I need to do something like that instead of that public Wi-Fi. Back and forth. So
yep.
And all those things are big.
Yeah, because of work, I, you know, my iPad, my computer, and my phone have VPN on all the time. So it's actually kind of funny. I was at home last night and I was looking to buy something or do something. And it automatically thought my location was like in Tempe, Arizona. I'm like, no, because that VPN was obviously using a server in Tempe. So when the website pulled to where I was at, it thought I was in Tempe, Arizona. I'm like, nope, I got to enter my zip code now to get the shipping calculated.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting how all that stuff works. And I know not all of us can understand it all, but there are at least some basic protections we can put in place to help matters a little bit.
I'm so, trying not to get too nerdy.
We're trying not to get too nerdy. Just a little nerdy. Just a little
bit. Yeah.
Well, what's some final thoughts that we should impart on the listeners today, Scott, as they think a little bit about technology and scams, how to avoid them, maybe your role as an advisor, where do you enter the equation and try to help people out? What are some lasting things we can hopefully leave somebody with today?
Yeah, we do cybersecurity training for our clients. You know, we've had events in the past. We've also had webinars just to educate people, just like this podcast is doing. You we've got a bunch of safeguards in place with our firm. And, you know, I mentioned just a few of them, and there's even more than that. But, you know, I think it might not be a bad idea if you are worried about this to maybe get some credit monitoring, identity theft services, but only if you're really active and concerned about it. I don't think everybody needs to necessarily go out there, but if you're doing a lot of online transactions and doing a lot of things, it may make some sense for you. And, you know, be careful. Just be careful with the emails, what you're clicking. And if you think you've been a victim of a scam, I mean, number one, you know, call that bank, call that credit union, whatever the case may be, the credit card company that's involved with that, if it's a financial scam, or call your local police department. You know, they get these calls a lot and they have to make reports, and there could be other people in the neighborhood or other people in the city that have been having these issues, and maybe it'll help to catch them or slow them down.
All good points. Thank you, Scott, for the advice and guidance there. And if you have questions about security, taking care of your money, not only from a risk standpoint, not losing it in the market, but just not losing it to scammers and fraudsters out there, Scott has resources to help you. He mentioned that education in place as well. So this is all part of helping you prepare for retirement and your financial future, keeping these matters safe. And so if you want to talk to Scott a little bit more about a financial review, seeing how secure you are, maybe with some of these things in addition to your overall financial plan, don't hesitate to reach out and have a conversation. 888-742-0111 is your number to call, or you can go online to talkwithscott.net, talkwithscott.net. We've got that contact information in the description of today's show. We still need to get to know Scott a little bit better on today's program, as well as answer a listener question. So we will do that coming up in a few moments. Nina is having her questions on Doc today in her 70s and talking about RMDs. So that and more coming up on today's episode.
It's getting to know you time.
All right, our question for you on today's episode, Scott, has to do with going to the movies or staying in for the movies. What is your preference? Do you like to go out to the movies, or do you like to stay in and watch a movie from home these days?
You know, I'm a little torn on this one, Walter. Okay. So I do enjoy going to the movies. And, you know, depending on the picture, there's nothing better, I think, than having that popcorn. Now I know our local movie theater's got those little reclining chairs, the little lazy boy things. So
I did one the other day, Scott, and it had a heater in the seat.
Really?
Yeah. That was a little bonus. That was nice.
Wow. Wow. Before you know it, they'll have massage chairs.
Yeah. Now that would get people back in the theater, I bet.
but at the same time, down in our basement, it's nothing fancy, but we do have a projector and I don't know what it is. I want to say 180-inch screen down there. It's a size.
Cool.
It's a little mini theater, and we got a little popcorn machine down there. And, you know, we built it for the kids. But I don't mind just laying down there in the comfort of your own home, watching a movie. It's not the same as in the theater, but, boy, you know what? I'm just okay staying at home sometimes, too.
Yeah, it's a little bit of both for me.
Yeah.
You know, if it's something that's got, to me, it's about the sound. If it's a movie that's just got fantastic sound opportunity, love seeing that in the theater, and because you're just not going to get that at the same at home. I mean, I could, but I would then be cognizant about my neighbors and, you know, blowing them out of the water, right?
Right.
So, yeah, if it's a good sound movie, I like seeing those in the theater. I will say, the one that I went to recently, I enjoyed the seats. I enjoyed the heater. I thought that was kind of nice, and the sound was good, and I liked watching the movie. It was a good experience out. I liked it. Now,
what movie did you
go see? We went and saw Arthur the King. So I went with a group, and we had a really nice time. We were the only ones in the theater, so that added to it as well. It was nice and quiet, except for our group. That was pretty much all that was there.
Wow.
It's a dog movie. Mark Wahlberg, he's an adventure racer, and this dog just sort of like randomly joins them during this epic race that spans, you know, I don't know, 1,000 miles.
I saw that. Yeah. I saw the preview for that.
It was actually really good. It was better than the preview. The preview made it seem kind of cheesy, and then the actual movie was pretty well executed. It was pretty good. So it was one of those ones where I thought the preview didn't do a very good job of selling me on the movie because it just felt kind of goofy. But the movie itself actually turned out pretty good. I liked it. It was fun. The dog was cute as well.
Nice.
Even though he's kind of mangy through most of the movie because he's not in great shape.
He's on a race.
And he's in, and he kind of just joins
this.
He's a homeless dog, basically, that joins this race. And pretty crazy what happens. And based off a true story. So
that's cool.
Pretty cool element to it. I recommend it. It was a good family movie for sure. So check that out. And yeah, theater or at home, either way. And go and enjoy. I'm like you. There's pluses and minuses to both.
Yeah.
So there's room for both in life. That's for sure. All right. Let's get to that question from Nina. It's a good one.
It's time for the mailbag. We want to hear from you.
All right, so Nina says, I'm in my 70s, and it doesn't seem that I'll be needing any money in my IRA, although I do have to take RMDs each year. I know that it breaks all of the rules for someone in their 70s to be an aggressive investor, but since I don't need the money, it's okay if I'm aggressive, right?
The one thing you need to consider is that ultimately, if you are going to pass that money down to the children, one thing I would suggest, now, you obviously need to make sure you've got a cushion or a safety net. Make sure that if something does happen, nursing home or whatever, that you're going to have that money available. There isn't necessarily anything wrong with being aggressive, but don't forget, if this is an IRA account, you're going to continue to compound and build and build and build and build that tax liability, either for you when you reach 73 or for your children when you eventually get hit by a bus. So that's, you know, one thing to think about. So you might want to look at doing systematic Roth conversions and building tax-free money, then letting that go and be aggressive. And eventually, if you never use it, like you're saying, then that may very well pass to the kids. The other thing to think about, too, is, you know, there's IRMA tax, there's taxable Social Security, a lot of different things. So if your most aggressive account should almost always be your Roth. And if you don't have a Roth, think about converting some of that IRA over into Roth. And I know I kind of went off on a little bit of a, you know, side note, Nina, but I think it's just so important for you to look at the overall picture of, you know, the tax planning and everything involved with your investments.
Thanks for the advice there, Scott. Nina, I hope that helps you out a little bit. Always fun to hear the unique situations people are in and the questions that arise. And often it's a simple question like that that leads to an appointment and a visit with Scott and the team at Skybox Financial Group. If you'd like to do the same and reach out with a question on your mind and get some guidance, all you have to do is call 888-742-0111 or go online to talkwithscott.net. Talk with Scott. .net. Contact info in the description of today's show. Thanks for another good episode, Scott. Feel like I learned something in today's for sure, and we'll look forward to catching up with you again soon.
I always enjoy it, Walter.
Thank you, my friend. That's Scott Searles. I'm Walter Storholt. We will see you next time right back here on the Retirement Toolbox.
Go Guardians.
Investment advisory services provided by Skybox Asset Management, LLC.